Quiet, quiet.
Blog Talk Radio.
They're gonna start already, these guys. What the fuck? Here we go.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Why you bother, Reno? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't work, you don't fuck, you don't eat, you don't know goddamn.
And if you ever had one of those days.
Yes. You know, they do happen. So, How's your day today? How's the weather? Good.
Nice. A little chilly this morning, but I had to break out my gloves.
What is your chilly? If you don't mind me asking.
32 degrees, dear.
Oh, so okay. Going, well, it was 38 degrees here, you know, at times where it's just sweatpants and a hoodie, you know, but, you know. Like I said, we're used to that. We're tough skin, unlike you guys. But next week is 70s. Gotta love it.
It'd be 78 tomorrow.
Gotta live.
Yeah.
Bill.
Huh?
I said
Bill. Good evening, everyone. Bill Kennedy just came in. How's everybody doing?
Bill is in the house. Thank you for coming. We missed you.
Honey, I'm breathing hard. I'm not coming in, but thank you for asking.
I could hear.
Honey?
Yeah.
What's for dinner, honey?
I had my cicioli. I had a salad with Greek garlic dressing.
You never take care of me like she takes.
Don't even start. I don't even.
And I have Panera bread crumb cake.
Ooh.
Oh, it's wonderful. Do you have Panera bread there?
I don't. Phil's saying yes, we do. I'm not real sure because I'm not a shopper.
They sell it.
Okay. Wonderful. Their salads, their breads, everything is wonderful. If you've had Edamame's. You know, like cakes or cookies or something. It's like Edamame's. It's heaven in your mouth. That's all I can say.
Well,
yeah. Where do you go? Where do you go with that one, Bill?
We'll leave it up to you, being the oral fixation expert in the between three of us on that, dear.
That's okay. You gotta be good at something, right? Besides being blonde and a brunette head. Okay.
All right,
Bill.
I'm kidding.
There's a couple things, but...
I just want to talk smut to you. He keeps interrupting me, but go ahead,
please. That's okay. You can talk to me any way you want.
You little
girl. Let me get these...
I'm easy. Sorry.
Crazy things out of the way first. I got three emails today, Bill. Listen to our buddy here real quick.
Good deal.
Man, Felonious Monk, man, I ain't been here in a while, man, but it's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not going to do a lot of explanations today. It's going to be a straight stop it be. This is to the government, the United States government. Yo, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance the fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights. Marijuana getting legalized. All of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads? More money for schools. You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, writers, Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people is proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking.
To all those people who keep requesting that, we have always said we'll not make any decisions or judgments, but if you guys keep requesting it, we will play it, but I don't want everybody to get bored with it. So,
yeah.
But again, if you people want to hear it, hear it for the first time.
There's things that I'd like to hear, but he doesn't ask us. He only asks you. Why is that?
I don't know either.
I'm always nice.
Yes. What else do we have that we have to, we don't have to, but people request from us with that?
No, we're picking up where we left off the other day about this house where 347 bill. It will empower federal agents to arrest and bring felony criminal charges against citizens engaged in a political protest anywhere in the USA. The First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States reads as follows. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on one second.
Okay, can we take this back to the fact that the Patriot Act, that's what kind of changed everything around, did it, brother?
This is good.
Yes. But with this bill, Obama signed it. Of course, that goes against the amendment, the Constitution. excuse me. Now, as far as we went into this on Tuesday, it was unbelievable. Yeah. So when the summit meeting takes place here, Obama is trying to shift the G8 to Camp David because they don't want protesters here, but they're already here. Not all of them, but they're coming. They're standing their ground. So with that bill, that will take precedence in regards to any dignitaries that are around. Protesters will be arrested if they are in the vicinity of the dignitaries. Now, if you've ever been downtown Chicago, okay, people are in suits. They're in dress attire. So if you bypass a dignitary, how are you going to know that? They're not going to have a name tag saying, I am so-and-so from this country.
No, they should have a sign on their back that says, kick me real hard.
You know, we had one of the guys in our shop today. He was talking about going back to Chicago, where he's from and all that. He used to hang out with a club called the Hell's Henchmen.
Yeah.
He said they were quite active, and they were patched over to another organization there. That organization still is around like that. But he was telling me that the weather is so good in Chicago. He says, fantastic.
Yeah.
He's
we're going to be in the 70s next week. I'm sorry.
Chicago, he goes, hey, Bill, it's beautiful now. He doesn't remember it being that good growing up and all that back there.
Well, Bill, Art, I'm doing okay. Bill, how you doing?
Well,
people have been worried about you, Bill.
I'm under a lot of stress. Nap, you have no idea. I need attention. I need caring.
Okay, Bill, I'm here.
Well, you have.
Sometimes I'm misunderstood.
You have.
I don't want Art to help me at all.
Nora's on the phone, and Riel's on the phone from Canada.
I don't want Riel to help me, but Nora could perhaps help.
Riel's on mute.
Yeah, I'll help you.
How you doing, Riel? Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey. Good to hear your voice today, guy.
Right on, brother. Thank you.
Hi, is somebody calling my show? Hey,
I'm worried about you.
What's that girl, Opal?
Yeah.
She said she was going to do some type of a casting call, and that was supposed to come next week or two. We need to see if we can get with that girl, because I got people that want to know. I know Riel's ready to come down and do the casting call, but some other people have called in and said, well, what's going on? So hopefully we should find out. If not, we should get to that girl, Opal, and just beat the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Give us false information. There we go. All right.
But,
It was false information, Phil? Bill?
We don't think so. They were supposed to be this week or next week.
No, we're talking about a casting call for a movie.
Different from
what we were talking about. Bill switched gears when I asked him how he was doing. But we got this lady named Opal, and she's getting herself started in a few things, and
she's a vet
and we're helping her out.
By the way, the reason we're helping her out is talk about a unique situation. In a firefight overseas there in the sandbox, she was shot by a sniper from above, went into her breast, out between her legs. Now, she recovered from the wounds, but one of the sad facts is she will never be able to have children. And she's taking all this energy now, and she's trying to help other people and all that. So we're trying to be open-minded, because,
right.
You know. But if she doesn't come through,
no.
I'll hold her and you hit her.
Yeah.
And then you hold her and I'll hit her for a while. Because,
okay.
You know, if you say you're going to do it, or else Phil and I get upset.
She's not paralyzed from the waist down or anything?
Negative. She walks a little stiff, would you say?
Yeah, Bill. And she wears a button that says, I did not escape. They gave me a day pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She walks a little stiff, but walks without any type of a cane or anything. She's done really good working through that. And
good physiotherapy. She'll come through.
Yeah. And she's got a good attitude. We hope so.
Well, sounds like she's got a very strong heart and will to live. So kudos for her, and pass it on to her from me, and we wish her the best.
Yeah, she should be calling in here a little bit.
She comes in, you jump at the phone, talk to her, we'll find out what's going on. Because again, if she don't produce what she says, bam, we'll lump her up. That's the way we are around here. You want
ship
chance?
Up or ship up?
Because, you know, basically, Bill, you know, I had these, I talked to that guy, Danny, you know, the one that made them shut up.
And
I asked him to make me some new stickers, Bill.
And what does that say?
Go fuck yourself. I'm an asshole and I approve this message.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'd wear that.
I can see you putting that somehow on your helmet so that the local police can say, oh, good.
Why not?
Something else to aggravate us. Just making a comment.
You know, it's like when, here, check this out.
Oh. I like that.
You want to describe it?
No, you try that one. That's beyond.
There's a little kid in a day pool. Little boy with tattoos on, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, got a towel over his head. So he says, hey, what's up, baby? Want to hop in the tub with me? Let's get some therapy.
Let's get freaky, it says, Bob.
Oh, yeah, I'm
freaky.
Sorry.
Let's
get
freaky. A little blurry there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's, haters going to hate even at my age.
Yeah, that could have been us growing up, yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, it's 347, Bill. They're coming up some crazy shit, man. Now, me, you, and somebody are standing out in front of your
make
shop.
Three.
We're standing out in front of your shop talking about
anything.
Anything. And boom, here we go. We're targets now. Like Nora really hated that, huh?
What?
The 347.
Yeah.
Because basically, even if they tap their phone, so you, me, and somebody else are on a phone conversation, and somebody mentions one of those words that they're looking for, we're up.
Why would you be on the phone with Norwood if I'm not here? Why would that be going on?
Oh, no.
Why would that be going on?
It wouldn't be going on.
We've been on the phone together.
What? Norwood, I thought you and I had something special.
We do, but Phil and I talk about the show.
Oh, okay then. All right, all right.
See you.
I guess what you do on Tuesday is your business then, okay?
Oh, don't start, Bill.
No, on Tuesday is strictly show. We weren't even commando.
Of course, Art started that, though.
Yeah, Art started that a long time ago.
Art is a unique individual.
Yes, he's a good man. He knows how he wants to be at his show, or at a show. He likes to be commando, so, you know, we have to pick a day and be commando. And, Bill, if I recall, you said Thursdays would be commando day.
Art and I were at a
That's
funeral.
Okay. I'll put the petition up.
There
you
we
can
go.
Go wherever you want now.
Art and I were at a funeral service a while ago. I gave a bit of a eulogy on Mount Soledad for a friend of ours, a BAIT member, John Del Santo, a great person, and Art and I both got to pay our respects to that, to his lovely wife, and to all the people who showed up. That was kind of nice. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, but then your friend took her shirt off, and you lost all thought before going to make her speech.
Just in the middle of a church. I forgot that. Yes, just the middle of a service, and we're up on a, like about 20 feet up above the crowd, and then she whoops her shirt off, and I'm thinking, hey, is this a eulogy? I forgot. Wonderful human being. There's not not one ounce of phony pretentious in that girl. Fran is who Fran is. If you don't like Fran, that's your problem.
I know. I get that.
Yeah. And she rides the bejeebies out of her motorcycle, so we give a lot of respect for that. She was the first person I met back in the day who didn't ride a Harley that I started talking to and really get to know, because remember back in the day, 20 years ago, so I was kind of egotistical. We stick in our own bars and we don't talk to those other people. She came riding up and she said, this is who I am, accept me or not. And I realized, this is a wonderful person. I don't want to lose this as a friend. And we've been very good friends all these years. So I respect that.
This is going to be our next topic there, Bill.
What about the San Diego cops? You heard they got they all pleaded not guilty to ticket fixing?
Yeah.
Did you read that paper?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they're all suspended without paying, even the DA.
Our district attorney, she was driving without a seatbelt. She contacted one of her friends. That cop pulled a ticket, and the original cop wrote the ticket, said, what the hell are you doing? And they went to court, and they're trying to plead not guilty, but it's pretty cut and dry. Talk about abusing the system with the badge of authority. You're somebody special. You don't have to pay tickets. That's wrong.
Right.
That's wrong.
But now, Bill, this guy, his name is Richard Mack, and he said that the federal government is not our boss. So this is going to be some excerpts from an exclusive interview at Nullify Now in Phoenix, Arizona. Sheriff Mack is going to comment on state sovereignty, the power of local sheriff, and what it means to be a constitutional sheriff who is responsible to stand for freedom.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Right,
he's a sheriff in Arizona, Phoenix.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what this guy's got to say.
Sheriff, friend of yours?
I'm responsible to stand for freedom. Well, first of all, it's every citizen. Secondly, it's every local official. Your county attorney, your county commissioners, your school boards, your city council, and absolutely your sheriff. He's the ultimate law authority in your county. He's the only elected law enforcement officer in your county and in this country. Therefore, he reports directly to the power source, the people. Ask
there you
your
go.
Sheriff,
I like
will
this guy
you
already.
Uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and protect it from all enemies, both foreign and domestic? If he'll say yes to that, then we're on our way to getting your sheriff to be a constitutional sheriff. State legislatures are not subject to federal direction. The states are sovereign. Means we don't answer to a higher authority. the federal government is not our boss. Therefore, the EPA, OSHA, IRS, FBI, they are not our boss, and they can't come in here and tell us what to do. The first state that tells the federal government, get out, and we're not sending you any more money, be the richest state in the union. I can't wait. Whichever state does it first, that's where I'm going to live. Read the Constitution, from it does, and see if you see any similarity. And if you see no similarity, and that government at all levels follow and adhere to the Constitution.
Like that guy already.
You know, I like the fact that he's not being pretentious or phony. He's not preaching. He's not running for anything. He's telling, hey, this is what's going on. Be aware of this. I like that a lot, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to put that, I'm gonna put his link up in the chat room right now. But yeah, I like this guy. Hang on one second.
Did you catch that cop that was on television, YouTube, that was running with two mattresses on top of their car?
Yeah, she got suspended with pay.
Yes, what the
hell? Got a... Around 760... 760... 7.
Talk to us. You're on live.
Hey, Bill, it's Tank.
Tank! The Tank got in there finally, huh?
Yeah, I set alarm finally.
You're a good man, Tank. What do you want to talk about tonight, Tank?
You know, I'm not too sure. I just figured I'd make some time, call in, and see what you guys are talking about. I was pretty interested in all the stuff you guys already had going on already.
All right.
Let me ask Tank a question.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I really don't care much about you, Tank, but how's your lovely wife doing?
She's doing good, actually. She's been up and around. She drove today for the first time. And, she's feeling pretty good. So.
Good. Glad to hear that about that. Be sure to send her our best there. Tank, we got some runs coming up over the next couple of weeks. You're going to stop by the shop. There's some good stuff you may want to get involved with, you and your organization. But very quickly, tell us about your organization, because you're kind of a different spin. You're like doing a little bit of everything. Tell us a little about your organization, please.
Yeah, Skeleton Crew Car Club and now officially Motorcycle Club in North County, San Diego. We'll be opening up another chapter up in Temecula within the next month or two, simply for the outreach. You know, we're a very tight club, and a lot of our members are actually up there, and it's hard for them to fully participate in everything we're doing down here. So if we open up another chapter, they'll be able to, stay close up there. We can stay close down here and meet in the middle. We do everything from, your Harleys, Jap, cruisers, street bike, and then in the cars, we got rat rods. We've got a few different, more exotic types, Range Rovers, Jaguars, and then, but really, everywhere in between. We don't really segregate, simply because it's kind of, in my eyes, it's kind of foolhardy for someone like myself to tell other people what they can and can't ride or drive. And as long as they're doing what they love, that's all I'm looking for, that passion.
Well, that's my feeling, too. We don't care what you ride, as long as you ride.
Tank, now, let's talk about, you have a little different slant to your organization, because in your clubhouse, you got like a boxing area, you got a weightlifting area, and you get set an area up doing some MMA-type sparring, wrestling and all that. So you want your people,
Well, Bill, if you can last 30 seconds, there's got to be somebody to save your ass.
Well, yeah, but I think this is a good idea. Not only a motorcycle and a car and everything else there, they're also into the conditioning. That's the
right
word I want. Good conditioning, all that, yeah.
Because if you get in a beef and you can't last 30 seconds, you might as well get your ass kicked.
Well, that's sadder than a drunk in a bar getting beat up by a skinny little sober guy.
That's it.
This idea of wanting to keep people conditioned and training and get them educated in self-defense.
Exactly. Well, and I tell my guys, I'm not really interested in going around pretending to be the big guys on the block or anything like that, because realistically, you go to any run, you go to any other larger, older organizations event, And, you know, it's very humbling. You know, you think you're starting to get good with 20, 30 members. There's clubs out there that's not even a chapter. So, you know, it's not about being big, being bad. It's just simply being able to stand your own ground. And also it gives people a level of confidence that is hard to find elsewhere, you know. I'm not about trying to push weight around or anything like that, but I definitely want, you know, somebody stepping on your toes, you know, be able to handle your own. So, yeah, you know, we got what we call the gauntlet, which is where as you're a new member, you come in and you got to go, you know, a minute to 2 minutes, depending on your size with each member. You know, you start from the knees. It's not slamming. It's not anything like that. It's just purely about, you know, making it all the way through. It's not about how many times you get hurt or if you hurt anybody else. It's just simply making it through, having that heart.
Tank, I like what you said. Screwdriver and I have said many times, although we are not violent, there is a place in this world for violence, and you are predator or prey. If you have no training, no discipline, you're not an asset. You're a liability to people you hang with. Screwdriver and I do not believe in intimidating anybody, but we also believe you have to stand up for your rights. I like your organization because you're not, I bet your people, none of them are wusses, but you're not bringing bullies into it. You're bringing people in, showing them skills. And by the way, if you don't mind saying, you're not a skinny little guy. Do you mind tell us how tall you are, your weight, something like that, Tank?
I'm right about 270 last time I checked.
Hmm. Well, you're not a skinny guy at all, and yet I've never heard you raise your voice in anger or anything whatsoever. But the people you're bringing in, I like the fact you're installing confidence in them, teaching them the skills on how to fix their motorcycle, car, truck, whatever, but building the confidence within themselves. I'm a very strong proponent of that. Not that I got a problem with martial arts and all that. I just, as you said earlier, there's a problem with the bullies.
But yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it's like they say, without war, there is no peace.
That's true.
He's a philosopher now?
Well, hey, all right.
He's a bike Bill? He's a philosopher,
okay,
too?
All right, Bill. You remember about what was it, about 6-7 years ago we went up to the Easy Rider show? We had to talk to one club, and you told me, wait here.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay,
you told me, wait here, I'll be right back.
I had a problem, yeah.
And there was, what, like 100 of them?
Yep.
And I was dressed one way, and they were dressed the other way?
Yeah.
And they said, is that motherfucker going to stay here all day? And where was I when you came back?
I had it. There was too many of them, and I had asked the officers of the club to meet me in this little cubicle, like, outside. And I mentioned to you, stand your ground there, and little did I know you actually were not going to take one step to move from anybody. But the point is,
and
you didn't do it because of your confidence, not because you're trying to intimidate them,
no,
because there was 100 of them.
Right.
The point is, this is who you are.
Right.
And I think you can respect that in the man.
And then,
for a woman,
and
strength of character.
Exactly. And to this day,
yeah,
they still call me Tank, the little guy with big balls.
Big balls. Because there were some giant people up there that the problem is being dealt with. And you were dwarfed.
Yeah.
You were like one-third their weight. And that one guy at Orange County, you brought one-fourth his weight. So that's, you know. But, again, it goes back to your concept. I wish other motorcycle organizations would deal with this here. Because people that are abusing drugs and alcohol, people that are being bullies, that makes the club weak.
Well, you know.
You want strong people.
Well, you know, Bill, about a month and a half ago, our friend there, Goldie.
Yeah.
He's got the one down MC.
Yeah.
And this guy set up a policy for his whole club. They have to work out at least 3 times a week. They have to eat right, keep their skills up, which I hooked them up with Mike in Oregon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the training, basically.
One of the things that I admire so much, we have 2 Navy SEAL guys that we ride with. And what I like about them is their complete confidence. They speak very softly. They would step aside and hold the door for you to be polite, but you could not push them aside at all. These people are extremely violent, but they are so well-trained. They have so much
discipline,
they don't have to push it on anybody with that. And that's what I like. You know what I'm talking about right now, the big guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of am the same way.
Yeah.
But to get back to what we were talking about, Tank, was... They got a thing they just passed this on the 28th of February, but it's outlawing Occupy. It's House Resolution 347, which makes free speech a felony.
Really?
Read that shit?
No, I haven't. I've been a little bit out of the loop. We're trying to get set up for Rat City Ruckus next month, so I've been under the gun, out in the shop.
But basically what this comes down to is the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act is what they slipped it in as, but it's referred by our corporate-controlled mainstream media as a non-controversial bill. But the more truthful moniker for House Resolution 347 is the First Amendment Rights Eradication Act, as Representative Amish limited it in the news. You want to read this bill right here? Check this shit out.
Under current law, it's made illegal to enter or remain in an area where certain government officials, those with Secret Service protection, will be visiting temporarily if and only if the person knows it's illegal to enter a restricted area but does so anyway. It's a lot of big back here, but work with me on this one, guys. H.R. 347, expands current law to make it a crime to enter or remain in an area where officials visiting if the person does not know it's illegal to be in the area and has no reason to suspect it's illegal. Skip the mumbo-jumbo. Hang with me on this right now. And to show you the extent to which the public is misled and misformed about the legislation we're voting on, read the prominent media outlet's coverage of the same bill and give us all that crap in there if you want there.
Yeah, and I'll put that up in the chat room. But what it is they approved the White House trespass bill and sent it to Obama. The report mischaracterizes not only current law, but also changes proposed by the bill. And then I put up the link earlier for the whole text of it. But if you send me a email, Tank, off that card, I'll send it to you.
The reason we talk about this is sometimes it is all gobbledygook and all that. It's, you know, too much words for the government. We have to remind everybody, it's our government. Why are we allowing them to make all these laws? They should be accountable to us. But by your non-action, you're refusing to get out and vote. You're refusing to find out which candidates are for you. Don't come to me and wake up one day and say, well, I don't know how this happened. Screwdriver and I, well, no, mostly Screwdriver's on. He's telling you what's going on every single week because you need to know about it. I have a little less concern. He has a little more concern. But we all have to be aware that this is our country.
Well, you know, Bill, I went to the movies Saturday. I got downtown about 9:35.
Mm-hmm.
By 9:45, they were 12 deep. As soon as they saw me.
Well, you are.
One guy called in all the troops. Then, right in front of the place, they stopped, called two girls off the sidewalk to go up to the car. And then when cars pulled up behind him, they turned the lights on and waved his hand out the window to go around. I got nice pictures of that shit.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. You were two hookers, you said? You
no,
two
no,
girls?
No. Two girls.
You were two girls. Two
no,
hookers.
No. Chief,
two of your women were working the street.
The chief of police, says that his guys do not solicit women downtown on duty.
Well, okay.
I'm here to tell you, Bill, the fucking lie.
Well,
yes, they are.
Come on.
What do you see right there, Bill?
I can't see nothing.
Right there. Oh. There's the two girls. That's the OPD car with the lights on.
That's like about a quarter of an inch big. I'm reading off a cell phone, a quarter of an inch big. Look at this, he's saying.
Look. See the two girls?
No, she got big boobs.
She got big boobs.
Okay, I can't see nothing.
That's the car.
I can barely make the car out.
Well.
God almighty.
I downloaded them. I'll have to show you the ones that I did.
All right, so once again, you're downtown. But the point is, you're not running away from downtown.
No.
You're an American citizen driving on American road. You have every right to be downtown. They just don't want you in that part of town.
Right.
That's the way it is. There.
Right.
Town has got that way. You don't have to be adversarial to the police. You just have to let them
we're
know
not either.
There. We're not against the police. Those officers that abuse the authority, that's the people we are 100% against. Every politician, every cop, every dog catcher, we don't care what it is. That's the people we're against. And everybody listening to us, it's your town. You got to protect your town. You can't just say, oh, don't worry about it. Wake up one day, you've lost everything.
Yeah. I'll tell you something, Bill. In Canada, the RCMP pick up hookers while they're on work, while they're on duty.
Yeah, I've seen that story.
Can you send an application down to me? I could be an RCMP.
Well, you know, Marion says that they were questioning possible suspects or interrogating known criminals.
Well, what I want to know is, are they paying?
Yeah, they are paying. And I'll tell you, their names
don't... They're not doing it right.
Well, their names don't go on, you know, as John Doe's, you know. If you pick up a hooker, you're known as a John. Well, I'll tell you that. They buy their way out.
I'm just saying, if you're going to solicit hookers on duty as a cop, I mean, you know, why pay?
Well, that's not the point. I mean, they're breaking the damn laws. If I was going to go and get a hooker, I'd be thrown in jail right away. Not these guys. They buy their way out.
Yeah. Well, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting it. I'm just saying, you know, hey, if you're going to be crooked, be all crooked all the way.
Oh, well, they are. They are out here. They sell drugs, man. They peddle guns. They do everything.
We got problems in California. We're talking the boys up in Canada. They are got major league problems compared to what we have down here. It's a rough neighborhood where he's talking from up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Calgary, Alberta, yep.
And this right here, this is from a guy in Australia.
Australia's another bad place to be.
He says, I sent him a copy of this, 347 House Resolution.
Yeah.
What did he say, Bill? 1 + 2, 1 + 1 = 2. Australia, Canada, Germany, and now the USA. It's getting bloody close to wherever it is they want, brother.
And because so many of us are not paying attention to laws being passed.
No.
January 1st, we get all these new laws going on the DMV, and who pays attention to them? Most people won't. It's easier to ignore them. It's easier to find some of our people that get out there and tell us, but we all have to get out there and find out what's going
That's
on.
Correct.
We all have to start monitoring our own rules and regulations. We have to monitor our own police department. We have to stand up and know it's by a first name basis. So many of our friends say, well, it's easier just to, I don't want to get involved. What the hell, I don't want to get involved. You don't think screwdriver wants to get involved? We don't. But we have to, because everybody has to.
Yeah.
See, that's why I love to be on your show, guys, because, you know, as a Canadian, I'm giving you the Canadian standpoint of our laws and our problems, and hopefully it helps you guys, helps the show, and helps the people that are listening in, because, I mean, there's a lot of Americans that come to Canada, and I would just like to be able to pre-warn them that, you know, not all areas of Canada are as bad as Calgary. Toronto's pretty nasty. Montreal's pretty nasty. Windsor, Ontario, being across the river from Detroit, Michigan, is a fucking dead zone when it comes to the cops. I'm honored that I can help you guys and extend my arm to yous.
What you're talking about up there is Canadian cities. Unfortunately, most of them have to do with the drug connections, drug trafficking to and from and all that.
Well, we have so many great ports, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, you know, so they do bring in a lot of paraphernalia, a lot of drugs, a lot of guns, but that's not the point. Most of the stuff that gets through, a lot of it don't get through, but that's not the point. The point is the cops take it out on the innocent people because they think, you know, whatever, they're associated, whatever, and then they cram it down your throat, you know, they cram it down our throats.
Exactly.
You know, I know of beautiful members of the Calgary chapter. They've been friends for mine for years, and you know, guilty by association, whatever the case may be. They got to learn to back the fuck off.
We gotta take a break here real quick.
Marion, you gotta pick up that phone. Marion, pick up that phone. Say hello to us. You got all these nice messages going on. Let's hear your voice.
Yeah, I don't want you guys to go anywhere. I'm gonna play this song real quick, and then I'll be right back.
There's a few glitches you can take care of here while we're doing this here. So it's a friend of ours won the 81 out of San Francisco Valley, the London.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent freedom.
Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. Yeah. And the cops don't like me because I do what I like. Uh-huh. It's American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't blame me, pig. You made me this way. I'm a pit in a cage built up with rage. Take off that vest or kick your ass all day. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that woman slipping nothing but hood. So if you see that one with the diamond grand, you better make room. I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway grind with my middle finger up like fuck the world. I don't give a fuck.
That guy coming home to a bad, you know.
He never left. That was the problem.
She must have the keys to his bike.
I don't know, man.
If that was my old lady, I got to tell you, I'd just start the bike up and just keep on going, you know.
But, so Nora, what else is bugging you? All right, anybody.
Yep.
You're all unmuted, but
we pretty, no. I mean, we pretty much covered a lot of territory on Tuesdays. We even went over.
Uh-huh.
What were we going to talk back on? Oh, that's what we were going to talk back on, even though the person isn't here. And with us on the show was in regards to the marijuana bill out in your state.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
what do you think about that, Bill? How do you feel about that?
I believe everything in my life should be taken with tolerance and temperance. There's use and abuse in everything. Many of us do not prefer to be around marijuana. I've got so many doctors, so many professional people got the medical cards. There's nothing wrong in my mind with coming home, having a glass of wine, and smoking a nice joint. I choose not to do that. That's the way I am. But truly, everybody I think in the world I know that's in a stressful occupation, they like to go home. They don't want to get drunk and crazy on whiskey and get himself all fired up. Small drink, smoke a little bit, just kind of unwind. So now saying all that, how the hell can marijuana be wrong? How can marijuana be dangerous?
They actually did a survey, Bill. People that smoke and drive are better off. They don't get in as many accidents.
Yeah, they're doing 10 miles an hour down the road,
exactly.
You know?
But,
like Cheech and Chong, remember?
Yeah.
Low rider, don't go fast.
All right, these guys don't know what I got here, but you do. You want to talk about this one? No, right here. Okay. In Indiana, the House of Representatives approved the bill.
Yes, I have that.
Approved the bill allowing homeowners to kill police officers. When should you shoot a cop? Round two. Stephen D. Foster recently wrote an article at Addicting Info titled Indiana House Approves Bill to Allow Homeowners to Kill Police Officers. Like Bill and I said, we're not adversarial, but some of these people come up with this crazy fucking shit.
What?
The article discusses Senate Bill 1 from Indiana, which states homeowners have the right to shoot and kill police officers who they believe are unlawfully entering their home. The author goes on to state a key word is believe. People have different beliefs when it comes to the police. Most people respect the boys in blue and understand they're just trying to do a dangerous job that doesn't exactly pay well. Some, on the other hand, have no respect at all for police and believe them to be the enemy all the time. Whether they have a warrant or not, but it's a particular risky situation that Republicans are putting officers in because situations, police officers in their homes when they have sufficient reason to believe that a crime is taking place.
Which is if a crime's going on in your house, you don't mind the cop coming in, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
All right. If you're getting robbed or whatever. For example, if a police officer is walking by a house and a woman screams because her husband is beating her mercilessly, there isn't time for a court-approved waiver, a warrant to enter the home. Under Senate Bill 1, which passed by 74-24, Hossman could shoot and kill the officer for entering his home and get away with it because he didn't have the warrant, but he thought a crime was going on. Cop has to make a choice. Is he going to come in or not?
And
if he doesn't have the warrant, this bill here is saying you have a right to shoot the officer.
And basically.
Well, I got a problem with that. Go ahead. I got a problem.
How many times we sat here? Look at that Marine a couple months ago.
Yeah.
71 bullets went downrange.
That was
51 of them in him.
Yeah. But, you know, look at this on the flip side, because this is my concern is, cops walking outside, it's Friday night again, and your wife is beating you again.
Was that white van out
right front? Across the street.
Okay.
But let's talk about traditional Friday night.
Yeah,
when your wife beats you all the time.
No,
we
have
cop hears that.
We have visitors out front in the van as usual.
Right across the street.
I have ones in the air.
In the air.
Mm-hmm. It's very rare to hear that here.
You're not supposed to talk with a cookie in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Nobody's sharing cookies. Okay, I won't share mine.
I'm still waiting for my cookies to come in the mail.
Me too.
Hell, me too.
There you go.
I know.
Well, girl, you better start putting out.
I got a bake.
I got the munchies,
mail.
Nora. I got the munchies, baby.
I know. I'm the only clean one here, okay?
I got cancer. I got the munchies, okay?
Come on, girl, put out.
I got cookies. I got crumb cake. Okay.
The home team.
I got to make the cookies, though, and get them out to you guys. So I got to get them out to Kelly anyways.
But, Bill, you know, there's a representative. His name is Craig Fry. He's a Democrat. So I guess this was your progressive Republican
that's
who
right.
started this shit.
That's right.
Anyway, he says the bill is going to cause people to die, and it's too late after somebody dies for a jury to sort it out. Somebody's going to die, whether it's a police officer or an individual who thinks a police officer is entering their home unlawfully. People are going to die. His colleague, Linda Larson, the former police captain, says the bill would create an open season on law enforcement and is opposed by 1,250 state police officers and 14,000 men and women in blue, brown, and green. But how many times have we seen that?
Yeah.
You know? Like the other day I cut over off of El Camino to 76 to go to the coast. As I cut that light right there by that little gas station on the corner, here goes six cars and a fucking SWAT team.
Yeah.
When I got home that night on the news, they caught those three guys that killed that kid in the front yard over there on the other side.
I do want to share the blame, though, with the women out there. The women out there that are being abused and beaten by your husbands. You have to share the blame. And I'm going to tell you what. If he beats you one time, shame on him. If he beats you two times,
shame
does
on
anybody
you.
Want to help me? Yes, indeed.
Shame on you.
Why are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Get out. Look at the damn red flags. It's in your face. If he beats you one time, that's it. Why would you stay
okay.
there?
Okay. Okay. How many abused women have you talked to, Bill?
How many abused women?
Yes.
Oh, my God, you can I give seminars on abused women. I talk to women that have been abused by family members. I give an awful lot on that, girl, an awful lot.
Okay.
Bill.
So, now wait a minute, because we're going into a place where I'm going to jump in. Okay.
Okay.
Now, in regards to you helping abused women, do you understand the mentality of an abused woman?
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Victim.
Okay, no, I mean, do you understand their mentality and why they stay?
Mentality is that they're a victim. Instead
yes,
of being the fact that they're attacked upon, they feel they're a victim. In some cases, they feel I may have caused it. The hardest thing to do with the abused women is make them realize you are a stronghold person. Somebody perpetrated some type of abuse upon you. It was not your fault. That's what
right.
I have to work with abused women.
Right, and
hey,
it's very hard
you,
to get through. Bill and I aren't done here, and I'm not meaning to cut you at the nose here, because now this is a subject that we're going to touch on, okay? I've been an abused woman from the age of 11 until so many years back, okay? So the mentality of an abused woman will show different than what a man can understand. That's not an abuser. Okay. No, I'm fine. I came out of it. I'm still here. I'm alive. But I shouldn't have been.
The problem is, if I can't say that, women that abuse, especially early, like I said, by family members or by the parent himself, they, I don't want to say they become conditioned, but more often than that, the man, their partner they seek, is also going to abuse them.
Right.
This is why, from a woman, you said 8 years, 11 years old, they carry that on and on and on. In many cases, they try to put it in the background, forget it. It never happened. Women
right.
that have been abused at whatever age there is have to say out loud, I did nothing wrong. I deserve
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
A lot of women.
Go with
some
another
women,
man,
with
and
some
that man
women, is, right. With some women, it's hard for them to get to that point. Some never do. Some
yes.
it takes a while, and some they can snap right then and there. It will take something to make a woman snap to realize this is it. It's not healthy. I deserve better. As you said, though, and I agree with you 100%. But usually it takes that woman to hit that place before she realizes that that's it, enough's enough.
I know whether to wear a black eye as a badge of honor. Look at me. My man loves me. How?
Oh, I never said that. I would never say that.
Never counts of you. And the women, some of the women I work with, they come in with a black eye. They don't see. They say, look, I've got a man.
No, they have an animal is what they
I agree with you. I see the damn red flag right in your face, 100% with that. But they're conditioned.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that I'm going to keep the relationship going.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe I've got a child by this man. I'm not going to lose this. I don't want my parents, I don't want my family embarrassed by the fact we're breaking up. I don't want to put a shame on his family. Why is it the woman always has to sacrifice everything?
That's the big question, because the men that are the abusers do not want to reverse speech why they did it.
A lot of women are so terrified of leaving because they're scared for their life, because a lot of men, I've known a lot of people, and I'll tell you, I kicked the shit out of women beaters. I've done it for years, and a lot of women are so damn scared because the man says, you leave me, I will either kill you myself, or I'll hire a gun to take you out.
And they go
into denial, and they fall into the closet. They're so scared to even leave their homes.
Right. You know, kudos to you in regards to that statement, because let me tell you something. I used to have a police escort, you know, to and from work. So I know that routine. I know that mentality. I'm not there. I haven't been there in so long. It's a wonderful feeling. But trying to get through to somebody else that is there is very hard and difficult, as Bill would know. And when you work anywhere with domestic violence, you know, it's not an easy task, period.
Nora, when I'm counseling girls, I tell them, first and foremost, you have a powerful mind. Nobody can touch your mind. Somebody can hit
you.
Exactly. But it's your mind. You get your mind stronger and stronger and stronger. And at some point in time, your husband, whoever's abusing you, they're going to realize, I'm afraid of that person now.
Right.
It's your mind. Nothing can touch your mind. Your physical body.
Exactly.
A lot of women are conditioned to be weak in the mind. It's not their fault, but, I mean, they've been beaten so often that their self-esteem is down to a...
There's nothing.
It is so down to nothing, exactly.
Right.
Let me tell you something. These poor, beautiful women with children in the home, you know, all they think of is, I got
to
protect
my
children.
What do I have to do to make it a good day today? Dinner is done on time. The house is clean. The kids are quiet. They're taking care of homework done. Yada, yada, yada.
It's one step at a time. One step at a time, and they will get strong. With support like people like myself, Bill, Phil, a lot of good other men in the world. There's good fucking men in this world, and they would die for a woman.
Well, you know what? I've never seen that. And that's to be the honest to God's truth. Nobody's ever stood in front of me. No one. I have stood my own. Okay?
Yeah,
so,
but sometimes you need sometimes you need a little help.
Right, but I've never had it. I had to go through it alone. Okay? I got better alone. I didn't have the counseling. I didn't have any of that. I just snapped, and that was it. And I went the way... I should have.
You're a rarity, Nora.
Yeah.
You're a rarity and you're a gift. You have
a
gift.
It's not easy because I went through the PTSD. You know, I had nightmares for a long time. But I'll tell you what, if I ever saw a man go to put a hand on a woman, I'm only 5'2 at 129 pounds. I have no problem coming out with a bat and saying, it ain't going to happen.
You are a very strong woman, Nora.
Right, but not a lot of women are.
Exactly.
And it's very hard to get them to see that.
Exactly.
You know?
They have to go through it themselves. They have to heal themselves with support. You know, with support from, like I said, good people like Phil, myself, and a lot of other men. You know, we have to be able to protect these women.
Right, and you know, unfortunately, there's women like me that have been painted in a really harsh way, where it's like when there is a good man out there, it's like, wow, okay, they do exist. Yeah, okay.
But it's amazing. A lot of women that have been beat come across a really good man in their life, and they run because they're not used to it.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'll sit there and people are like, you know, why are you single? And it's like, where is there a good man? And they're like, they're right here. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I laugh.
Well, it's because they're conditioned. They've been used to getting beat since they were children.
Exactly. Like I said, I was from a kid, you know, and that was through family. And then it went to boyfriends, then it went to ex-husbands, you know, and then it was like a boyfriend, then it was like, whew, flying solo and staying, you know, it was just easier, you know. I'm not going to beat myself, but I will stand in front of weak, in a heartbeat.
Okay.
You know, I always have.
Hold on one second. We're getting tapped in from the other side. Let me play this song. And
you can make a few adjustments.
Yeah,
hey, everybody.
This is. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit for Naked Thursdays. Okay?
You mean Commando.
Commando. I'm going to stop, but I'll definitely see you guys soon.
He's going to make a few adjustments on this stupid machine here again. So can we get a song or something?
Yeah, I'm going to play this song while I'm doing it.
Appreciate your patience again. Clean it up.
After that song. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you what I find beautiful in a woman. Women are liabilities or assets. I look for assets. I look for strong women, and I think that two strong people come together. You're ahead of the game.
But I want to.
We got a bunch of people here, too, kind of.
Yeah, what I want to do is hold on a second. I'll be right back. We got a caller on Skype.
1111. Talk to us.
Is that you, Art?
Oh, Phil, can you hear me? This is John from New Jersey.
Oh, what's up, John?
Hey, man, listen, is this Bill's Dysfunctional Family calling now, or I just want to make sure I got the right show here?
I don't know. Hold on 1 second. I'm coming right back.
I'm not really a professional counselor. I've just been counseled for so many years. I pass as a counselor.
Yeah, but we're all one big family, and that's the thing. That's what you got to concentrate on. We're dysfunctional, but we're a family, and that's it.
Hello, friend.
Yes.
How are you?
I do have some stuff to say on this.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think a lot of people out there fully understand that, first off, our young people are conditioned to this. When mommies and daddies beat mommies and beat their children, they see that as a form. If they're not beaten, then they're not loved.
That is so true.
What becomes a sad account to society is when, I don't know if the statistics are still the same, but 25% of the girls in high school are being thumped on. Now, that to me is sad. But again, that goes back to the learning and conditioning that they had already received from home.
That is so true. So true.
I agree.
Then you add to that factor that mommy allows the thumping to go on, because if they're thumping little Janie, then mommy's not getting thumped. Or mommy will give permission for whoever it is, boyfriend, husband, to have sexual preference and favors and look the other way. But then when it comes to push comes to shove, and now daddy or boyfriend has to leave the house because of the sexual favors that have been going on, now the child is made to feel guilty and dirty. So you have a whole lot of stuff that's going on. Now, when you're saying a strong woman, I would venture to say that you would consider me as a strong woman.
Of course, her personality, of course.
Well, a little bit, yeah. But I will tell you this, and I don't know if I proud of this or not. However, I remember my ex-husband, and this is a situation where my cat stole something so stupid. My cat stole food from his cat, and he came over to attack me. And there's this thing that's called fight or flight.
Correct.
Okay, so either you're going to, buckle down and fight, or you're going to run. Take your pick. And when he grabbed me, my brain switched into a gear that I never actually saw. And what actually happened is I took the man, 190-some pounds, 6'2", across two rooms. I had him by the throat and off the floor. Now, it would have been okay if that was the end of it, but actually what happened is, as I was holding him off the floor by his throat, I was looking for my butcher knife.
Anyway.
All of a sudden, the realization hit me of what I was actually going to do. First off, what happened is I saw that, one, I would have had to let him go to grab the butcher knife to do it. And it was wonderful to see that scared look. But I came back to reality, luckily, and I didn't harm him. That's one of the reasons why whenever I get angry, you have always seen me walk away, or you always see me with my back up against the wall, because could I hurt somebody? I would think I wouldn't, but that would be untruthful. When you saw the woman that did the burning in the bed, she had it to the point where she couldn't take it anymore and actually burned her husband in the bed. She
I remember
actually vomited.
What if he would have taken the knife away from you and done you in? God forbid.
You want to know something? Only because you don't know me. And the two that are doing the show, they do know me. That wouldn't have happened. Because
at that point, I could have actually snapped his neck, and I didn't.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad you never got hurt, honey.
It's the realization that I could have.
Yes, you could have, yeah.
And so, but when you're looking at people out there, and once a month, the biker group, and tonight's their night of doing this, once a month, the biker group go down and feed women at a homeless shelter. And if you were to actually sit and listen to the stories and being, I mean, if you look at even the military men, you put them under enough conditions, they will buckle and they will become submissive. They will do what they are told. You are correct. We do have a mind, and with our mind, we can decide to accept it or do something else. But again, it still comes back to if a person is conditioned. Look at the girl that was kidnapped and kept in a backyard and had two children by her kidnapper. Look at Hurst. I can't think what her first name is.
Patty Hearst.
Patty Hearst, yeah.
Look at her.
Locked up into a closet by the 70s Lebanese Army and tortured for a long time until she was brainwashed.
See, so, we have kind of, when we're talking of certain issues, it's nice to be able to say X, Y, and Z, but really have to look at the whole picture. And have I seen communication leaks? Yes. I know other people on the air have done also. Luckily, I just didn't get sued by it.
But let me bring everybody up to a high note, if I can. Back when I was in a motorcycle club, everybody in my club, we lived in this apartment complex that was U-shaped. And we had a couple of people that weren't in the club, but everybody else saw the club in there. All the wives and girlfriends were talking to this one young couple. This guy would come home payday and beat his wife. Every payday he'd come home drunk, beat his wife. He told all of the wives and all the girlfriends in my bike club, girls on their own decided, when he comes home drunk next, go out in the courtyard, a U-shaped apartment complex, run out in the courtyard, throw yourself down. He came home drunk. He started slapping her all around. She ran out, threw herself on the grass. He ran out, didn't give a shit. Well, what he didn't know was that all the wives, all the girlfriends in my club ran out with pots and pans, beat that poor fool. He wanted to hit them, but there was, my whole club was sitting there. We didn't know what was going on, but he saw all of us staring. He let these poor women eat. He didn't have shoes on. I remember seeing one girl beating his toes with a frying pan. They were beating the hell out of him. They took him to the hospital. For the rest of the time he stayed in that apartment complex, he never raised his hand to his woman again. There are times when you have to make statements.
Well, but now, I'm going to throw another piece out there. And the other piece is a lot of times we are focusing on women. And what was interesting, and because we're always conditioned to thinking that women are the only individuals that end up in this beating and whatever. And
no, men go through it too.
Right. The first motorcycle run that I remember going to, however eons back that was, and it was actually for the battered men. And
they go through it. You just don't hear it.
Well, that's the problem.
Right.
And, we automatically assume that it's only going to be women, but there are battered men as well.
You betcha.
But in my case, you know what? Go ahead. I'm going to be 61 years old. I've taken it to task before, and I'll take it to task again. But I will not stand by and watch someone hurt. Shit, I almost
don't know
where I
was.
He's hurting dogs.
Hang a second, guys. John from New Jersey, you're awful quiet out there. You want to comment on this, ladies? John?
Well, no, I got a little I'm on another tangent, so if you got, you guys can just play that out.
Well, bring
out.
Us around. Tell us about your tangent.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's two-part. First of all, I got a little bit of a security update from some of my tech buddies about cell phones. Most of the new cell phones today have, in addition to the big battery pack, you know, to recharge, if you take your cell phone apart, you're going to find that there's a another battery in there, and it's probably hidden. It's going to be hidden. You may or may not be able to see it until you take the phone apart. But there's another battery in there, and it's about the size of one of those hearing aid batteries. And that's what keeps your cell phone on even when you have it off. That keeps just enough current going through the circuits so that, GPS. Yeah. So now, this is most of the new phones. If you got an old phone, like an old iPhone or something like that, what my friends told me that that won't be the case. But the newer phones, if you literally have to take out the battery in the battery housing and just throw the damn thing away, because it has nothing to do with with the actual operation of the phone. So that's basically what keeps you active even when your cell phone is off. There's just enough, it's like your TVs and your computer. You know, the minute you hit the remote and put on, it flashes on because it's already on. You know, even when you shut it, there's still enough current going on in the system so that all the components, everything, don't have to warm up. So if anybody's got that cell phone out there, just take that battery, and you may have to unscrew whatever casing is in there, but you'll discover there's another battery in there. And that's basically the workaround, to disable that phone so that there's no signal coming out. No, they may
mine, I just showed Bill, and I don't have that in there. I just have the other battery. So when I turn my phone off and take the battery out of it, it's off.
Okay, that may be that. I think eventually all the phones are going to be like that, and the majority of them are like that. They're in there, and I had a couple old phones, and I looked, and they all had that little battery. So I took the battery out. Phone works perfect, and there's no way to know unless you try to pick up on your GPS signal that you can pretty much. There's tests you can do to see if your phone's sending out a signal or not. You can pretty much just run your cell phone in front of you get on the AM dial on your radio. You just go down where there's no there's no stations, and if you're getting a buzz on your AM radio, that means there's an RF signal coming out.
Yeah, you're being tracked.
Yep.
Well,
so
I need to throw something in because this came up at our bait meeting, and all of your credit cards have in them a chip that sends a GPS as to where we are and what we're doing, whether we use it or not. As it stands right now, California wants to put the same type of chip into our driver's license, which means that they can track us at all times unless you put those credit cards with that magnetic tape and everything and chip, and if they do the license with that, into a metal case, which they will not be able to get that from. So it's not even a question of using your credit card, or, like I said, at the moment, they don't have it in our driver's license, but that's where they're going with it.
We have that in Canada, and a metal box will not do it. It's if you line it with lead, then they cannot track it down.
It's called a Faraday cage. It's an old. It goes back to the 20s and 30s. It's just a cage. It was a copper cage, and that was used during World War II for security, because if you broadcast inside that Faraday cage, it's just a copper mesh cage, and nothing really comes in or out. And if you get a variation of that Faraday thing, which every circuit has to have some kind of electrical input. There has to the only way that you could track you even you have to be in close proximity to the transmitter. What they do is they just throw out a field of RF energy in an area, and that activates your phone, and that activates the RF, you know, the chip in there. You have to that only actually works close up. You know, a couple hundred yards or a couple hundred feet away. It's not very practical, and that's for the most part. I don't think that just from what I understand about it, that's actually activated beyond you basically have to go buy a machine or something that's sending out an RF signal, you know, a burst of radio frequency. And but generally speaking, if you're out on the street and you're walking around and that circuit isn't active, there's basically no way for them to. There's no technology to do that yet. I mean, maybe somewhere down the line, you know, they'll throw out a signal and it'll blanket the whole country or the whole state. But right now, there's really no way to do that. You know,
John, let me ask you, because I'm not up on the phones at all. I hate cell phones. Is our friends in Canada face the same type of problems? Do they have these batteries in there too, or is this just an American problem, or is this worldwide?
Well, it's worldwide because the manufacturers are putting those auxiliary batteries, and you may find some brands or some companies that don't do that. But from what I understand, if it's not 100% across the board now, it will be. So. But once it gets out, that all you got to do is disable that battery. They're going to come up with some other scheme, you know. And I don't know what the scheme is, but for the most part, if you've got an older phone, it's probably not. You probably don't have a problem, but it's hard to say. But I'm sure that the government gets a hold of the manufacturer, particularly the security agencies, and that's what they build a back door. That's their version of a back door into the cell phone, is you've got a battery that just keeps enough of a current in there to keep the circuit active. And it doesn't take a lot to keep that circuit active. All you got to do is just have a little bit of a signal, and if the GPS signal is, you know, if it's strong in your area, and that depends, too, on a lot of things, on the relays. Now, it's kind of problematic.
I just showed Bill... You want to tell people what that is?
Oh, wait, it looks like something the government's got. I think it's one of those barcodes in your body. Is that your barcode right there, maybe?
Yes. It's also my RFID chip. Okay. This is from the Department.
Actually, work for the government?
Hello?
He works for the government.
Hello?
We're here to help.
That's actually not funny, because if you recall, not too long ago, they wanted to put those chips in the skin of children.
Yes.
And what they were scaring people with and trying to do was say, we really should do this so that if your child is kidnapped, we would be able to find your child.
Right.
And that was only 5 years ago.
Right. But what I'm saying is, okay, I had to go and get this. I had to get a background check, security check. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure to get bent over the table to look up my ass. I had to go through a couple of hoops. So instead of now being good for 1 year, it's good for 5 years now, Bill.
Why aren't you smiling again? Every damn picture I see you...
When they took that picture, that was
what?
The day I told you I had to go see the NCIS.
Yeah.
And the guy put those pictures on the table... And I said, those are better than the ones I have. Can I get a copy of those?
That is one picture out of 500. The magazines you're in, everything, you never smile. What the hell is your problem? Let me ask you this, which I think is, I've never in my life said anything nice about a cell phone. I am interested. They're talking in California now. If you get pulled over,
right,
you go on your cell phone, and you can flash a picture of your driver's license, insurance, and registration. You don't have to carry that on your person anymore. And this is the only time I'm going to say something nice. That's not a bad idea.
No, you're wrong, and I'll tell you why.
You can lose your registration,
no,
you get a ticket.
No, you're wrong, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, I know you want to tell me why I'm wrong. Go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
I can't. Here's what's going to happen, Bill, okay? if you remember in Michigan when
I'll take a short nap. Wait. Go ahead.
If you remember in Michigan when they took that reader?
Yeah.
And passed it over people's phones, mm-hmm. plugged in their phones. Okay. I get pulled over. The guy walks up. Hey, you know that's a small screen. I can't see that. Can I see your phone? Now you hand him your phone.
I got it.
Bill.
Now you get your phone up. You get the information away.
There you go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
that.
Well, I'm certainly glad you gave me your input on that. It's the only thing I've ever said nice about a cell phone in my life. I make one statement and bang. It'll be contradictory.
Hey, here. Everybody on the phone, okay? Everybody on the phone right now. Think of what. Listen to what I'm saying. You get pulled over. The guy says, you show him, oh, I have that right here, officer. So you pull up the screen on your phone. He says, hey, you know what? I can't read that. Can I see your phone? Now you hand him your phone. What happened, Bill?
You surrendered your phone.
Exactly.
You surrendered the information.
Exactly. Okay? Not good idea.
But your only statement is you know nothing against the phone. You're talking about surrendering the information. I'm saying for the first time they made something which I think will be helpful to people.
No.
You can't lose your registration. You can't
no.
lose your. It's all right in there.
No.
You're saying that have the information, surrender
what's
the information.
What's the stop?
Apples and oranges once again.
No.
I made a statement. You got to deviate into some wild aspect of the other side of the picture in there.
Okay.
It's go ahead. What? Go ahead. Somebody jump in.
Hold on. I'm going to go one at a time.
What?
Never.
Frame. Would you hand
never,
out your phone?
Never.
I didn't
ever.
Say hand anybody anything. Nobody heard me say hand anything.
Look.
Don't be putting words into my friends.
That's too much information to give out.
Oh,
because what's the downloading your phone? Yes or no, friend?
Well, the only thing is I look at my address book in my phone as private information. So, personally, I have to punch in a code for me to use my phone. So, therefore, I would not allow that number to an officer, and if he were to take my phone, he didn't have that code, he wouldn't have access to that information. But once again, anyone who uses their phone, okay, now listen to this. Anyone who uses their phone with email or messaging, those items are still live on a person's phone.
Yep.
Which means that you're giving them access to legal information
that you shouldn't have to. Just like this. It's just like this. I got pulled over a year and a half ago, and the guy said, can I have your driver's license? And I said, can I have $15?
You just aggravate
the situation. What did you want?
You just aggravate
the
situation. That's
said,
why we get pulled over. These stops take so long. You aggravate the situation. I told you 100 times.
I paid for it.
Let me do the talk and we get paid. For God's sakes, make it easy on me.
It's just, All right,
you asked somebody a question. I didn't say a single thing about it, and you spoke for 5 minutes supporting your side, just asking the person yes or no, but don't stop influencing them.
All right, John, what would you do?
Well, it's everything is like time, place, and circumstance. It's if I can get away with, I have some countermeasures that I take. And it involves encryption, and I've got a little bit of a workaround for anything on on a phone, or I can work around where I can encrypt that information. It's none of their business. So if I'm cornered and I have no choice but to give it up, I give it up. That it's going to be useless. Because it's encrypted and it's there's a lot of layers and there's a lot of long passwords, and so as a practical matter, it's probably impossible to it's mathematically impossible to break encryption. It's once you encrypt something today with good strong encryption, technically it takes thousands and maybe millions of years to to try to decrypt it. They call it brute force. So I've got a little I'm a little more tech savvy, so I don't carry phones. I don't carry any of that stuff with me anyway. I mean, I never take a cell phone with me anywhere I go. So
let's ask another.
Okay.
Let me get somebody else, please.
Thanks.
Tank, what do you hear about that? What do you think about that idea? about the possibility of having your driver's license, insurance, or registration on your cell phone instead of having to pull it out of your wallet.
Hey, you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, I got it on speakerphone. I'm working in the shop. You know, I've got my cell phone on me everywhere I go. It's my business line. It's my pretty much, unfortunately, I like to say it's a big part of my life. And really, I think that's how it is for a lot of people. So just to not carry it is not really feasible with most people like myself. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of coming in late here. I was doing some grinding, but.
All right. Well, that's his opinion on that. Let's get to Nora. Nora, are you out there? What'd you think of that question?
I'm passing on that.
Okay. Real.
I don't. Well, okay. You're asking if I was asked to hand over my phone, if I would give it my phone.
Nora, that's what. Do you think the concept was a good idea instead of carrying your driver's license, registration, insurance? To have that information available on a cell phone if you're stopped, instead of reaching for your driver's license, insurance, and registration.
There's no way
can I ask a question? I need to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
When an officer asks for your driver's license, insurance, and adi-adi-adi registration, generally he takes it back to his car.
Yeah,
so if you were to...
Present your
information on your phone.
My friends.
Yes.
Well, I've got an answer for that. They do have. If you see them all over the place, they're the square barcodes. You can actually each one of your phones has one of those, especially for Blackberries. You can actually just scan it with your phone or with your camera, and it gives you all their information so that you can talk to them and all that without even having to put in the information. I'm guessing it would be a system like that to where the cop would scan your phone and then they would have all your information. If you have any DUIs, if you have a warrant out for your arrest, if you're current on your registration, insurance, all that.
They already know that before they pull you over. You know, when you see them in a rearview mirror, a block or so behind you, by the time they get up to you, they already know.
They've contacted the supervisor and the dispatcher. Excuse me. They run all that information down.
Yep.
Yeah. In Canada, if, like, say, hypothetically, they take your cell phone and they bring it to the cop, to the cop car, they can actually download everything you have in your cell into their computer on their dashboard.
Yep.
They do that in Canada.
Well, and it's not illegal for a cop to, to look through your cell phone if it's not locked. If your cell phone is locked, they're not allowed to unlock it. They cannot force you to give them the password to it.
No, but with the
I keep mine unlocked if I don't have it next to me. It's unlocked.
What you guys don't understand is just like if you go in, they send you that letter, hey, come on down, we're going to give you a new phone. You go in there, and you tell the guy, hey, can you take everything off this phone and put it on that phone for me? What does the guy do? He opens the back of your phone, he takes the chip out, he puts it in the little box, which they have that are portable and runs on batteries, that all they got to do is plug in your phone. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care if it's encrypted or not, they have all the shit that in 10 seconds can be inside your phone and tell you what you did 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I didn't even think about that part where, you know, that's correct because they don't need the phone physically on. All they need is the electronic plug-in to actually download the information onto a device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you happen to have a warrant out for your arrest, they bring you into the cop shop, you have your cell phone with you. They actually have cyber cops out here in Canada, and they have one in most police stations. They will hold you. They can hold you up to 72 hours. They will have the cyber cop go through your phone and download everything into the mainframe. I'm known through Interpol, and it will be all around the world. Every fucking thing I've done, everybody
wow.
I know, that's why I don't have important phone numbers in myself. And I do not like cell phones, just like Bill and many other people. I carry it with me when I'm on a run. I carry it with me if I'm in my car traveling across the country. Other than that, I've got the oldest cell phone. I mean, dinosaur shit. I think I pulled it out of a pile of dinosaur shit. That's how old it is. So I do not like new cell phones. I do not like those palm readers or those palm held ones, because they can actually track you down wherever you are. A buddy of mine's got one, and I was in a shop, and there was a readout on W5 in Canada, and it came from Apple, and he starts talking. They tapped into his palm holder, and everything that he was saying to his buddy because it's a cell, it does everything, this thing. And everything that he was talking to his buddy about, they could actually hear my voice. And if he takes a picture of his friend, not a picture of me, it actually takes a picture of me, because there's a camera in the front and a camera in the back.
All those back doors are put in there by the manufacturers, so that you got to assume that that your phones are dirty and they leak all over the place. And I won't take one out with me anywhere I go. I won't do anything important on any of it. I've got one here. If there's a hurricane or a tornado or something or whatever, that's the only reason I want a cell phone. The power goes down. Beyond that, there's nothing. I don't do anything on a cell phone, and because I know just what your capabilities are, and I'm not giving up information to them, because.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally against cell phones.
You know, and
I've got to ask a question, please. When you were talking about the scanner. Now, were you talking about LifeScan, where that you put your hand on and they read your hand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I've got mine in several places like that.
Yeah. See, that's why I've got phone sweepers. I got everything. I sweep my car. I sweep my bike. I sweep my phones. Everything. So when the little light I'm dead serious. When the little light goes green, then you know your phone is safe. And if it goes red, well, you know damn well it's tapped.
Absolutely. You know, hey, everybody should be doing that. Everybody out there should be doing countermeasures every day, and at least once a week. Everything. You sweep everything. You go through everything on your hard drive. Everything that's capable of storing data has to be checked. And I've got layers of protection. I got firewalls
on the couch
and different equipment. And even at that, I run security on that almost every day. Just, you know, it's not paranoid. It's just it's due diligence. It's what you got to do. You know,
honey, paranoia is not a bad thing.
No, it's paranoid.
My boss, one of my bosses, and I know that. He had the webcam physically on us while we were talking. And as we were talking, my paranoia kept kicking in, and I kept saying to my boss that this conversation is for your information only. And that's kind of like one of those situations where every 10 minutes you've got to beep, but you know that the conversation is being recorded. I was doing that so that as the webcam, which I know was on, letting him know that I knew that it was on, because anyone who's going to see that better have a good reason why they have it. Because in California, both parties or all parties that are being recorded have to be notified they're being recorded.
Yeah. It's not paranoia. It's just being cautious.
For me, it's paranoia.
So I got an update. I had a cop shop update, fellas. Last Thursday, I was going to call in last Thursday. I got in a little bit late, and I was going to call in, and I get into the house, and maybe 15 or 20 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and there's a detective sergeant from the Denver Township Police Department, the right-hand man of the chief of police. And I invite him in. We go out into a little, we got a little, like a little sunroom out there, and we sit down. And it was the response to the internal affairs complaint. So, in less than 2 days, I had the second in command, down here. And I'll tell you, we got along pretty famously. I mean, it's very agreeable, and we went over a lot of. A lot of ground, and they actually were considering dismissing that young officer that was in the video. And I found out he was just a cadet on he was just on previous probationary. And I told him, look, I said I'm not interested in getting anybody fired, or I said that's this is not a vendetta and it's not a blood feud. And so I can't get into the details, but. Because I agreed not to, not to be specific about the internal affairs, but I had the internal affairs investigation last week. So these guys, for my situation here, this is a good example of you have to use the system. You've got to use the system for your advantage you've got to use it against them, because that's essentially all you have, unless you've got some high-powered attorney. You need to know how the system works. And if you're in Texas or Florida or some other third world country, I don't know how well you're going to fare. But so far here, now this will be an interesting little case to see how just to see what how this develops, but. It's going to be a good. It'll be nice. This will be a little sort of like a crash course on internal affairs. Not specifically, because each state's different, and even municipalities and the police departments are different. But from what I've seen down here, these guys are pretty serious about that. They don't want any big lawsuits. They don't want to be handing out $1 million paychecks. And all I can say is that I was pretty impressed, But that doesn't mean that that it's going to go my way, I'm not naive enough to think that just because we had a nice little sit down and we did everything by the book, and they seem to be real serious about correcting whatever problems they perceive that they have there. Now, that may all just evaporate, I don't know that. So these things take time to unfold. But if you've got a problem out there, and you have to know how the system works. You've got to use the system. You have to do as much homework to find out how that their system works as they do, against you. So it's anybody's got a problem out there. I can't speak for Canada. I don't know how what their system is up there, and. I don't even know from state to state, but folks, if you don't know how the system works, you're at a definite disadvantage. You absolutely have to know how the system works, and you've got to make it work. And if you don't make it work, it won't. There's very few people that actually, will go the distance. But if you think you've got a legitimate complaint against them, you have to go through the motions. You got to. You got to go through the steps, and they'll respect you more for that than anything else. What they don't respect is people who just like they'll say, bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. So don't bend over.
I'm going to jump in here and then. Every time Screwdriver and I have had to go down the police station to confront the IED supervisor, officer, whoever caused the trouble, they're always exceptionally polite.
Yeah.
I believe it's because they're kind of worried about what we're doing, why we're there. The average person doesn't do this. A cop on the beat, you get a little mouthy or something like that. You go to IAD, you go to supervisor, you go talk to these people, sit in the room facing the officer. We have never had anybody disrespectful to us.
No.
I'm not saying we've said the truth, because we know that's not true either. But always been exceptionally polite, because they're concerned, why are these guys taking the time to check this out? What you're saying is absolutely true. More people, stand up for your rights.
Yeah, but as a Canadian, trust me, I know my system.
Well, I want to come. I want to come visit you, so you can go teach me how to do all this stuff.
Well, you're more than welcome, man.
Well, hey, you come to Canada.
You come to Canada, man. You can stay in my home, and I'll tutor you.
Hey, let me jump in here real quick. Bill, Screwdriver, thank you guys for having me on. I'm going to go. I got the guys out here at the clubhouse, and we're trying to get some work done. But, hey, I appreciate it for sure.
Can you say to us one more time the name of your bike club? You said a little bit fast last time.
Oh, Skeleton Crew, Car Club and Motorcycle Club.
You said a little fast last time. I want everybody to hear that correctly. Skeleton Crew, Car Club, and now a Motorcycle Club chapter also.
Yes, Skeleton Crew, Crew with a K. Anyway, coming up May 12th, we'll be having an event, most likely in Vista. We're trying to lock on Make-A-Wish Foundation, so I'll keep you guys updated as we make more information. So,
Tank, hold it for a second. We need you to send Screwdriver some type of a flyer so we can post it, okay?
Sounds good, I will. I haven't made any flyers quite yet. We're a little behind on doing all that stuff. Last time we had an event, we were well figured out what we were doing about 6 months out. But like I said, as of now, we're trying for Make-A-Wish, and hopefully it'll be in Vista at the Prohibition Brewery and Grill.
Is that going to be a Saturday or a Sunday?
It's Saturday. It'll be a car and bike event.
All right.
Well, good luck with everything.
Hey, thank you very much, and I'll call back in next Thursday.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks. That's what I like about this.
You know, Bill, wait, Bill.
All right, go ahead.
I just got a private message, Bill.
I think if it's private, it might...
Well, I'm just astonished, Bill.
I'm just pointing out.
Okay, I won't say nothing about
Perhaps
it.
Perhaps not. Sometimes we get little messages from you, our friends, and sometimes I'm not sure it should go on the air for everybody. Sometimes I think you want a message for just us, so you can assume it's a lovely lady sent us a message, and I'm not sure that she is a lady. We should try to act like that and keep that message to ourselves.
Oh, no. Go ahead and share it. It's funny. It's a joke. If that's what you're talking about, I was laughing.
Ari said it south, Bill.
See, Nora, it's just the fact that in the presence of a lady, Screwdriver and I should try to act more like gentlemen. Which we failed.
You know what? Wait. I have been around more guys than I have females, okay?
And most girls are more
I'm
happy with
I'm used to the mentality. I'm used to the jokes. I can cut it up with the best of them. Trust me, okay? So nothing shocks me, period. So I have, and you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make everybody else laugh because I'm going to put it in the chat. Right there.
There we go.
There it goes.
All right, here it goes. Here it goes for everybody.
You just got to have a sense of humor.
You do. You do.
So laugh.
Well,
okay, can everybody read that, Philip? Can everybody read that?
No, go ahead, Bill. Yeah, everybody
can read it.
No,
I want to read it. Okay, then.
Everybody can read it.
Well, I'm concerned, this is what Mike is...
It's a joke.
Well, but see, I have a problem with that because... I know.
Bill, are you having a senior?
No, I mean,
moment,
it's a problem I'm having with Nora here, and I don't know if Nora wants to come through, if Nora wants to tell us the truth or not. No, I'm going to put Nora on the spot. Nora?
That's fine.
Philip or myself, you're thinking about when you're in the shower.
Okay. Do you want a visual or do you want an actual picture?
A visual.
A visual. Okay.
Can I help you? Hello?
Well, Bill, you put your foot in your mouth on that one. So
here,
let's follow through with it.
Wait a minute, that guy's got long hair and a beard. For God's sakes, please tell me it's not Nora.
No, hang on.
How you get this shit for?
Hang on.
Nora, is it me or Philip? You gotta pick one or the other, Nora.
Bill, I said you. I said you opened it, so let's finish it.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay,
for that.
Well, humor me for a minute. Humor me. We're gonna play some.
Like a teddy bear.
I'm sometimes just misunderstood.
Understood.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't have an actor's face. He's got a radio face.
The perfect face for radio.
What's a radio face? How do you describe a radio face?
Somebody that's not got his face plastered all over posters. Doesn't make movies.
Well,
I
there's
will
like
this
a Catch-22 on that one.
Nora, when I was in the fourth grade, my father had me boxing, and the first fight I had, after the first round was over, my father asked me, "Bill, is it your plan to let him keep hitting you in the face until his arm gets tired?" That's the advice he gave me. That's probably why my nose has been kind of beat a little bit and kind of sad and lonely. And probably, I think I lost that fight on points or something, but, you know. Doesn't matter. The fact is you get up off the stool, you go back out, and you try it again. That's the measure of a man.
That's right.
Win or lose, draw, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
There you go.
Not getting up off the stool. That's where it gets weak. Weak.
No puns intended. Question.
Yes.
How much would it take, Bill, for you to find out who is doing a casting call up in Anaheim at the motorcycle shop so that we can have a casting call of bikers at your shop?
You are so. You want to address that question?
Well,
go ahead.
You know, we're
going
to tell you. We're going to tell you right now, since you let the cat out of the bag, Brad, and nobody has told you this. What's going to happen is the one they're going to do Saturday up in Anaheim. About a week later, right? Week.
That's what she says.
One week later, there's going to be a casting call at Bill's shop.
Really? That means I don't have to go up to LA? Sweet.
We were hoping that the director, location director, whoever Oprah is, we're hoping that she would be on the air tonight, but she's not on the air. So we'll have to do a follow-up phone call, I guess.
Oh,
you know how to
so
get
cool.
to my shop, Fran? Do you remember?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be up in your area tomorrow to pick up something. I'll stop at the shop tomorrow.
Officer, they'll help you out. No problem.
Oh, I don't need to be led nowhere, honey. I can find my way anywhere.
Maybe we better do a phone tomorrow then.
That is so cool.
Okay. Well, Philip said he's willing to volunteer to try to reach Oprah tomorrow. Oprah?
Oprah.
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 Or give a call, find out. When one of the weekends coming up, maybe next weekend, so.
So, with this one, Bill, since...
Oh, there we go.
Excuse
now, this is Bill's time, this is Bill's area, this is Bill's everything.
Since this is the end of the show, Bill, I'd like to thank everybody that's in the chat room or called in, participated tonight. And I'm going to take this out with a little Bob Seger. It's called Turn the Page, Bill. So until we be able to talk to everybody next week, Tuesday or Thursday, I appreciate everybody calls in on Tuesday and Thursdays.
Right on, brother.
And I would like to donate this song to all the lovely ladies out tonight because you donated that last song to our good friend in Canada.
Correct.
So since you picked on him, I'd like to donate this to all the lovely ladies tonight.
Okay.
And to every biker that ever had a biker, every biker that lost his biker, every biker who never had a motorcycle, whoever the hell you fit in, this fits everybody.
Absolutely.
Good night, boys and girls.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Sing along with us if you know the words.
Mr. Omaha.
Everybody join in if you know the words.
Everybody.
Night.